It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here with the latest. We've got a Surface update on the update after the update. We'll have the details on that. I'll look at some new features of a number of Microsoft products and a whole lot more. Windows Weekly is up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 346, recorded January 22nd, 2014. Halfway to Metro. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, visit ShareFile.com. Click the microphone and enter Windows. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/windows. And by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device. For 50% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW50. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers Microsoft, Windows, Xbox, any Zune, whatever it is, it comes out of Redmond. We got it right here with the Kings.
This Week in Zune.
This Week in Zune. I didn't, you know, I dodged a bullet. Thought about it. Great acronym, TWIZ. Didn't do it.
Jeez. This Week in Zune.
Paul Thurrott is here from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com, the ZDNet blog. And I tell you, I got to tell you, there's nobody. You got these two people. This is it. I think this week I quoted you both three or four times talking about Windows 9 threshold and stuff.
Was it right after a swear word of some kind? Or
No. You guys, really, I feel very lucky that we really have, you know, two of the foremost people in Windows journalism and Microsoft journalism. It's really, you listen to this show, you're getting the best. Let's just put it that way, kids. Not me
like
so much.
The Justice League of...
It is. It's the Justice League of tech reporters. That's right. Shall we jump right into it? We do have quite a bit to talk about. Mm-hmm. Starting with Windows 8.1 updates.
Yes.
Mary Jo Foley.
I'll start it out.
You kick it off.
I'll kick it off. Yeah, so... there's some new rumors this week about Windows 8.1 Update 1 that have been circulating. And
to be clear, we haven't received that yet.
Right. We have not received that yet. We think it's going to be coming out around Build 2014, which is the first week of April. And this week there was a screenshot leak from WZOR. I don't know if you actually try to pronounce that name or not, but he's a famous Russian leaker of Windows builds.
It's Wowzer.
But Wowzer. Maybe Wowzer. He posted up some new screenshots today, in fact, that he said are of Windows 8.1 Update 1. And the most interesting thing in that screenshot leak is a picture of the desktop in Windows 8.1 allowing you to pin Metro-style apps on the taskbar. So, you know, we've been talking about how Microsoft's going to try to make Windows 8.1 more palatable for business users, for people who are accustomed to Windows as it looks now, people who use it with a mouse and a keyboard. And if this leak is correct, this is a step along that way. So that,
and it
that
would
was
be
one.
And it'd be sooner than threshold. I mean, we're talking
right.
The next update, right?
Right. It would be April this year, not threshold, which is April 2015.
Wow.
Right. And then Paul supplemented that with some information. Do you want to cover your own information, Paul?
The part I published is not super big. I'm trying to confirm some other information, but I should say before I get to it, the question I had looking at this is, he shows a Metro app pinned to the taskbar, but he doesn't show what happens when you tap on it or click on it.
When you click it, where does it open?
Right.
Because the taskbar, if you go full screen, then bye-bye to the taskbar.
Right. And so that's not weird. A huge advance. I mean, it's a step toward what we know is happening later, which is the ability to run Metro apps in windowed form.
That's the only way a taskbar icon makes sense, if you ask me.
I think so. I mean, I think this is it's sort of a functional parity thing, because if you you can pin a desktop application to the start menu, the start screen today. Of course, that launches the desktop and opens the app. And so this sort of reverses that.
So it's giving the taskbar parity to the start screen.
I guess so. I mean, okay. So that's I'm not sure what to think about it. It's kind of a weird halfway step.
Yeah.
The part that I heard now is that they're going to be adding the ability for users to explicitly close Metro apps. And this is particularly interesting for people who have desktop, traditional non-touch computers, because as you move the mouse around, what will happen is a little close box will appear up in the corner of every Metro app. That way you know how to close that thing. It's funny because the way you close Metro apps today, if you have a keyboard mouse, is similar to how you would close apps anyway. Like you could Alt F4 works, but the touch-based ways of doing it, or even the mouse-based way of doing it, is a little unusual, where you kind of drag down from the top. And in an 8.1, they added this thing where you have to kind of actually hold it there at the bottom of the screen for a moment while it does a little animation, and then it will go out of memory a few seconds after that. So, again, I look at these things both as being concessions of sorts to traditional PC users who, by and large, don't feel that Windows 8 meets their needs because it's so touch-based.
Yes, I am one of them.
She's touchy
about this. I love to see these things coming, and I know a lot of my readers and our listeners say, "Oh, it's bringing Windows back to the old days, and it's not good. It's not what Microsoft shouldn't be doing." But if you want your XP and your Windows 7 users, especially your business users, to upgrade to Windows 8, you've got to make this look more familiar to them.
Yes,
you have to.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't really think, I mean, I get the debate here, but I don't really see it as a step back at all. We talked previously, I think last week even, about how Microsoft didn't offer that backwards compatibility bit in Windows 8. And this is arguably something they should have done all along, make it a little more palatable to those people, which, by the way, majority of Windows users by far, who don't have a touch interface. And, the Metro stuff makes a lot of sense if you're using a tablet, but it's not necessarily ideal on traditional computers.
Yeah. So we should mention too that Paul previously also had a post, I think earlier this month, saying that Microsoft may also be introducing a capability into Windows at some point where you're going to have floating windows on the desktop, like Windows on back to Windows again,
but
where you
could
actually have Metro apps.
Metro apps, right. Yeah. With closed and boxes and everything.
Right. It wouldn't have to be a full screen app every time that you click on an app. You could have Windows again. And this supposedly is not part of Windows 8.1 Update 1, but it's coming at some point, either in Threshold or possibly before that. So this is, again, a step on the way towards that.
When is Windows 8.1 Update 1? Is it soon?
We think it's April.
Oh, you said April. That's right. You said April. Yeah.
So supposedly, our sources both have said, at least I think Paul's has said this too, that they're trying to line it up so that it comes out around the same time that Windows Phone 8.1 debuts, which also is the beginning of April.
And you have written that in many ways that these things are designed to bring those two products more closely aligned to each other, technically and aesthetically, that Windows Phone, Windows... these are steps toward a future where they probably just are the same product or whatever, but they become more alike.
Right.
This is like a well-oiled act almost. Now tell us what else I wrote.
It
wasn't intended to come out like that. But.
Yeah. So the other thing we should point out from this week, because I've seen a lot of stories talking about this, WZOR called out Paul in a tweet and said, "Hey, by the way, you're wrong, Thorat. It's not coming. It's not going to come out." Yeah, he said threshold's not spring 2015 like you're saying. It's actually going to RTM in October 2014.
Ooh.
So,
but RTM is different from coming out. We should say that. Those are not mutually incompatible.
That's incorrect. So, I mean,
yes.
The way I would say this is, you know, people, the initial threshold report that I had, the you know, threshold will be called Windows 9. I noted that there will be no bits at build for Windows 9. In fact, it will not have started production yet or, you know, development. And so, of course, the next question becomes, and I also noted there would be three milestones, which, you know, in the modern way of doing things in Windows probably means beta, RC, RTM, you know, whatever. Or maybe there'll be a beta 2, you know, RC or RC 2, however they do it. So I think when you look at the schedule, when you think about this thing being a year off, I believe we speculated on this very show that it actually makes sense for the beta to hit in October, because that's kind of the halfway point between April and next April. And that given that schedule, wouldn't it be interesting if Microsoft had another build event this year, one based around Windows 9? Now, this is just speculation, but it makes more sense from a schedule perspective.
By the way, I've heard
April many times now. In fact, as recently as last night, speaking with someone who mentioned next year and saying, in fact, within the context of, I think we have this in the notes, of there's an expectation because Windows 9 is this new name that this will be some major release. But he said, you know, they really can't get that much done. In fact, I wrote this down. He said, there's no fundamental stuff happening in this release. It's the same type of release as Windows 8.1. It's a step, you know. So, you know, we have 8.1, we'll have update 1. Maybe there'll be an update 2, you know, whatever. We don't know in between. But, you know, Windows 9, a lot of it is just differentiating it from what is perceived as kind of a failure in Microsoft, this Windows 8 release that people didn't like. And that is the real reason for the name. I mean, you could make an argument that maybe this thing could be called 8.2 or 8.5 or whatever. So, you know, they can only get so much done in a year. Windows 8.1 shows you what they can get done. I would hate to think what they could get done in 6 months.
Yeah. You know,
it's not that wouldn't be much. It would be like an update 1 type. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think this guy's wrong on the roadmap. And I think I hadn't even thought about your idea, Paul, that it could be a beta that he's hearing October. But yeah. I was guessing when I was just looking at his tweet, I was like, I bet he's hearing about update 2, if there is an update 2. To Windows 8.1.
Yep. You know, I don't know. I didn't see that tweet. That's funny. But I've heard April multiple times now. I just don't even know what to say.
I think it would be impossible almost to for them to RTM in October. They haven't even started building.
Absolutely impossible. There's a reorg that hasn't finished. There's a CEO that hasn't been selected. There is a Windows team standing around doing, I don't want to say doing nothing right now, but wondering about the future. October is not happening. I mean, it's just inconceivable. Yeah. I mean, I hate to be absolute about it, but I've just heard April next year multiple times.
All right.
Yeah, I asked again. I heard spring.
No, who is this year. Wowzer guy anyway?
Well, no, he leaks
a lot of stuff. Yeah,
he leaks a lot of stuff.
Right. Seems to be Russian. He tweets in Russian a lot. So...
assuming it's a guy or whoever he is, whoever he, she, it is, whatever. I don't know anything about, that just doesn't mesh with what I've heard. That's all.
There you go. I think you've defended it ably. Ably.
And furthermore, Leo.
You fool. You wowzer, you ignorant slut.
I don't have white gloves, but if I did.
No, in fact, it's all collegial, my friends, collegial. One more update 1 feature that's coming.
That's just the close box. That's the
The close box. I do like that, by the way.
Users.
Thank you, close box. Why can't the desktop improve to better support Metro-like features too?
I keep bringing this up. This is just a pipe dream of mine, but it seems to me that there's a better chance of this happening now because they're starting to understand that this desktop thing isn't going away as fast as they'd like, or that the Metro stuff is not going to become as popular as they want or whatever. But I really feel like they could make some additions to, I want to just call it Win32, you know, to the APIs there, where developers who have, I hate to call them legacy, you know, like current apps that are a big deal on Windows right now could utilize these features and make it halfway to Metro.
Yeah.
You know, add that full screen support so that it works literally like a full screen app like Metro apps do. Let them integrate with the share charm or whatever. Think about all the different ways in which you could take an existing Win32 app and provide some of that functionality. So when you do have a user who buys an Intel-based tablet or transforming two-in-one type device or whatever, they can run iTunes or Chrome or Photoshop or whatever it is full screen and have it sort of act like a Metro. Maybe there could be some sort of auto-scaling type of thing that you could enable or whatever, just to make it a better experience on touch-based devices. And so I have no information about this. This is something I am literally inventing as like a, wouldn't it be nice, you know, or I think they should do this because I do. I don't know if anyone's back at Microsoft working on Win32 stuff per se, you know, improving the APIs or whatever. I doubt
Win32.
Well, Leo, you'll appreciate this because we can't not bring up Apple all the time. You know, when Apple made the transition from classic Mac OS to...
Right. They provided Microsoft a mechanism.
They provided this interim bit.
And they've killed it since. You know, at some point.
Well, Cocoa and Carbon, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about.
By the way, I would say there's mixed success there because by not kicking developers' butts, by providing Carbon, many apps, including Office, stayed Carbon way...
And Photoshop, too.
And Photoshop.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the joke. They're not moving to Metro. So, you know,
right.
I mean, right. We also have a much bigger user base to worry about on this platform. And that kind of solution, I think, makes more sense in this context.
Yeah.
So I just wish they would do it. I don't have any inside information that they are, but I wish they would.
Burt Lancaster and Deborah Carr in Halfway to Metro.
Nice.
I don't know why. That's what leaps to mind. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go with the charms, put the charms
halfway to Metro.
Like
halfway to Metro.
It should be, I see the Cars could be singing that. I don't know. Let's take a break. When we come back, I love this. I don't know who wrote this headline. I love it. Surface firmware fracas continues. Fracas continues. Fracas. Continues.
It's like guy from
I think it's W.C. Fields.
Better Ken.
Are you having a? I think you're.
You're a stutter there.
A bit of a fracas.
Fracas.
It's a perfume for women. Our show today brought to you by ShareFile. Love ShareFile. I'm kind of glad that they're back on the show. Because I use it religiously, and I keep feeling like I should be telling people about ShareFile. It's a Citrix product. So, you know, I mean, they understand business. They understand how to make business work. And one of the big issues in business these days is getting, sharing files, you know, for want of a better phrase. Getting large, sometimes, files, CAD drawings or, we exchange audio files quite a bit. To and fro without attaching them to emails, which is so bad for so many reasons, the security issues, the bounce back issues. And yet, you know, I think probably if we could segregate out business emails these days, a lot of them would have PowerPoints and spreadsheets and contracts and documents and PDFs attached. And that's just not the way to do it. And I don't care. I see this all the time. The lawyer, you know, the law firm that has the disclaimer at the bottom. If you receive this in error, delete it immediately. Don't read it. Right. That's going to make me read it. Please. You need ShareFile. With ShareFile, you're sending your attachments, not as attachments, but as secure links. That means files of almost any size. I can't remember what the limit is, but I think it's 2 gigabytes. It's huge. The highest degree of security. You control who can see it, when they can download it, how often they can download it, for how long they can download it. You get notifications when the file's been opened and by whom. It's very easy to integrate. If you use Outlook, there's a plugin that makes it look just like email, but it's not. I use ShareFile every single week to send audio files to radio stations for the radio show, both commercials and... Hi, this is Leo Laporte. Whenever I'm in Muncie, I'm listening to KWZOR radio. With ShareFile, too, you can access your files anywhere. Yours, by the way, because they're on the ShareFile, as well as the ones you received, laptop, tablet, smartphone, they have ShareFile apps for all of the above. You got to try it. We have a free trial. If you visit ShareFile.com, you'll see. Now, this is a little tricky because there's a free trial right in big letters in the middle. Don't do that one. If you could help us by clicking at the top where it says, did you hear about it on the radio? Yeah, or podcast. Click that green microphone up there. I think it's green. And enter Windows. That'll let them know where you heard it. And that's kind of important to us. ShareFile.com. Click that line at the top that says heard about on the radio and enter the offer code Windows. 30 days free. And, you know, I think you will see why it is a better way to share files. ShareFile.com. Yeah, a green mic with radio listeners click here. I don't know why they haven't added, you know, Twit listeners or something. And I also hate saying click on the mic because if I feel like people who are watching the show are going to click their mouse on my mic. Not this mic, the one on the page. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, we're talking Windows, we're talking Microsoft, and we're talking the Surface firmware fracas. What is the Surface frame? My goodness, there's a fracas going on. What is the Surface firmware fracas?
I don't know if we should let Paul even touch this story.
Incredibly convoluted history.
It's a recipe for a PR disaster, writes Paul Thurrott.
Steam is coming out of his ears. I can see it.
So, and Mary Jo, are you suffering with this? Because you still...
I am not on this particular one, but the general problem is something that we need to talk about. The idea is, how public should Microsoft be about fixes they're making to the Surface firmware and the regular Surface updates they're doing? Up till now, they've been doing a pretty good job of it. I felt like they were every patch Tuesday, you could count on it. You know, it was like clockwork. Hey, here's some updates. Here they are. Apply them. And then December, things kind of melted down and they had a bad update to the Surface Pro 2 that for people who did manage to download it, ended up really wrecking their battery life because they were having problems about the machine not going to sleep, not being able to wake up. It resulted in some people returning their machines because they were so frustrated. And we heard Microsoft was hurrying and trying to get the update out as quickly as possible. At first they said post-holiday.
Then they said, December,
yeah, you did. Paul brought it up on the show, and then they said, "Okay, we're gonna hurry." You know,
fracas.
Yeah,
it was a fracas. Yeah,
they raised a fracas.
Fracas.
Okay, so here's the part that got worse this week in this whole story. Over the holiday weekend, this past holiday weekend, Microsoft started rolling out Surface Pro 2 firmware updates to some users. It started happening Saturday and Sunday. People were saying on Twitter and email, they were like, hey, I'm getting an update. What is this thing? And we were having trouble getting information because it was a holiday. Maybe because the Seahawks were playing. I don't really know. But we couldn't get a lot of information about what this was.
That's a lot of excuses there. But okay.
I know. I'm trying to be generous on this one because, okay, it was a holiday and a lot of people were away.
I mean, they just took the entire month of December off. I don't understand.
Yeah, so people started getting the update, but then
By the way, I just got it on my Surface Pro.
You just got it.
Wait till you hear this, Paul. I have more. I have the sequel to the story now.
Okay.
So they started rolling out the updates over the weekend, but then we found out that only people who actually managed to upload the faulty December update were getting these updates. So then all these other people who didn't get the December update were complaining and saying, where's my update? And we didn't know. So then we heard, we're going to get an update for everybody. There's more update coming. And we're also going to try to fix some of the other issues around the micro SD cards that people have been having with the Surface Pro 2. So then just today, people started getting another update to the Surface Pro 2. Julian Kay, one of our listeners, just tweeted to me, hey, I just got another update. And I already got this one on the weekend. And now I'm getting another Surface Pro update.
That's a little scary.
I don't know what it's
frankly.
For.
So I have literally just received this. I've been checking this thing regularly because I did install the update.
When you see two updates in 4 days, that's not. That's
I haven't seen any of the other updates, and so I've been checking this a couple times a day, and you'll find it hilarious as I do that I can't actually install it for some reason. Oh, I guess it's automatically installing something, so I'll just let that sit. It's like stew; it needs to.
needs stew to mature. Is the word when you have a fricasse. Well, it's a fracas fricassee.
I think this fricasse needs more cilantro.
He's doing his fracas fricassee.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to complain too hard on this because it's awesome that we're getting updates on our surfaces. It really is great. We've gotten a lot of updates. It's great. We don't have to wait for a service pack like the old days or a new release. But we do need to know what we're getting so that mm-hmm. it's clear, you know, this is the fix to this or whatever it is. I think this one that's coming to you right now, Paul, is marked as a hardware update as opposed to a firmware update. Yours says firmware. Julian says hardware.
Well, here's the hilariousness. Well,
you cannot, wait a minute. I'm just going to say, you cannot update hardware over the air.
Leo, Microsoft is proving you wrong.
You can update firmware because it's firm. But if it's hard, you cannot update it downloading it.
The issue is always with Microsoft for me is one of communication. And I feel like this has been communicated poorly.
Yes.
But in this most recent example, we have reports from different people who get different updates. We don't know why. There's no – the stuff isn't appearing on the Surface firmware update page or whatever they have. This particular update that I just got – and again, I've been checking this multiple times a day for days now because of this. It has a little link. It says, you know, click here to find out more. And it goes to a support page that doesn't exist. And it just loads the generic support page at Microsoft.com. So – you know, again, it's communication, you know.
Right.
There's a firmware update. That sounds important. What might this be? It might be the re-release of the December one. I don't know yet. I
mean, so there's no link to a note or anything where they explain what's
going on. Well, there is a link, but there's no note. That's the joke.
In the past, they've been good about that, right? Like when in the past, after these updates come onto the Surface update page, you go to the link and it tells you this is what this is, right?
So, I'm sure they're scrambling.
I'm sure they are too, you know.
It says, you know, by the way, it's rebooting and it says, please wait while we install a system update.
Yeah, so I'm looking at what Julian sent me. So one for January 18th says system firmware update. The other one says system hardware update.
That's
both
awesome.
Software.
Sure.
So,
Leo's point is well made.
Right.
You know, this is a 3D printer we don't know about.
So at least something is being fixed on your Surface Pro 2s, everybody.
Literally right now, something is being fixed. I always get nervous at the screen that says, please wait, and then nothing else happens, and it just sits there.
I know, me too. That's kind of new.
It's an element of trust to what's happening here. The screen went blank. And we'll see. I mean, the issue that I had was, you know, when these reports started coming in that the Surface Pro 2 was having problems after that firmware update, I started playing around with this to find out, am I seeing any of this? And the battery life on this thing went from reasonable to less than 2 hours, you know. So it was absolutely what people had been reporting. So it will take a while to figure out if it has come back, but we'll see how this goes. I have a good feeling about it. He says confidently.
Okay, well.
Yeah, let it stew. That's our fracasse.
Let the fracasse
stew. The fracasse stew.
And let us know what happens. By the end of the show, you'll have some idea.
I would hope so.
Surface 2s are back in stock, by the way, if you'd like to. If you're missing out on the fun, you want to participate, you can.
Well, this is another one. Paul and I have had many an IM conversation about this because getting information about the stock on the new Surfaces has been also a point of frustration for us.
Yeah.
Microsoft hasn't had very many Surface 2s, the ARM-based ones, or Surface Pro 2s in stock. Some people ordered them months ago, and there's been no update as to when they were going to get them. They, you know, holiday came and went, no information. The other problem is when you go to the Microsoft online store page and you try to order one, if it's not in stock, you can't even get on a wait list. You can't pay. You can't even give them your money and say, I'll take it whenever it comes. So finally this week, it turns out that the Surface 2s and the Surface Pro 2s are starting to trickle back into stock on the Microsoft online store. So I guess they're starting to get more of them in, and hopefully that will trickle down too to some of the resellers like Staples and Best Buy and Tiger Direct and others who've been trying to ship them out to their customers too. They haven't been able to get them either. We've asked, so many people ask us, have you guys asked them where they are? Have you asked them when they're going to get them? Oh, I'm yeah. Like, yes, we're asking and we're not hearing. So,
I mean, the only thing I've ever heard is the stock statement. You know, it basically amounts to we're building them as fast as we can. You know, that these things get built, they go into stores, they get sold, and they just are not back in stock. You know, they're not hanging around. Yep. But I've
also
Does anyone actually witness these things coming into a store and then?
I know.
I don't know. It's very strange.
I know. We also don't know, for all the people who keep asking, we don't know when they're going to get more docks in stock, and we don't know when the power covers are going to get start shipping from Microsoft, because we've asked on those as well. We don't know.
Early 2014.
Sorry. We don't know.
Someday. They may not know. Maybe they don't know. You ever think of
Maybe
that?
Maybe they don't know.
Maybe they don't know.
I know.
There are things we know. There are things we don't know. And then there are things we know we don't know, but we don't know if we know. Because how can you know about the things
so
you do?
Much.
Maybe they just don't know.
He was the guy that made the Bush administration fun.
They should hire Dick Cheney to do their PR.
Jeez.
Let me tell you people, you journalists suck. Just listen to me.
And also, you know, because they had that write down of Surface RTs last year, almost $1 billion write down, I'm sure they were a little gun shy about ordering too many of any of these things, right?
Exactly. Wasn't the write down because they made too many?
Yeah. You're probably erring on the side of caution if you're Microsoft right now and not making too many of these.
If I were Microsoft, I wouldn't build them until I got an order.
But, you know, God, this is like everything else. Microsoft is always a giant overreaction to whatever just went wrong and then going wrong in the opposite direction. You know, Windows 8 is that, you know, I don't understand why there isn't some, you can tell they're not making enough of these things. Is it terrible to have a few of them sitting in stores, like your own stores? I just don't understand why. I don't know. They made a lot of people very unhappy over the holiday period, especially. And here it is, what, we're 3 weeks into January, and you can finally get one of these things again. It's a long time.
Yeah.
I bet there's a story.
I liked your idea, Paul. I think you were the one who said, just give us an update on the Surface blog, right? And just say, you know what? Yeah. We know a lot of you have ordered this, and here's why it's taking a while. Give some reason, right? It would at least make people have faith that it was coming, you know?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, and I'm sure you have something in here about this eventually, but, you know, Microsoft's going to announce their earnings this week. They're going to talk about Surface now. I mean, was there some blockbuster Surface quarter that we're about to be excited by? I mean,
maybe.
I'm curious. I mean, how that gets reported, if it gets reported, you know, we'll see what they do. But this will be the quarter. They'll make some comment in the conference call. It will say something like, we got our Surface inventory under control. Or, you know, whatever. There'll be some comment like that. You know, by never having them in stock, we never had too many of them. It was the perfect situation.
And, you know, a lot of people said, oh, yeah, but you don't know. If they're sold out, it must mean they are doing great with it, right? Well, if you sell out of something at the holiday and people want to buy it and they can't, that's not a great situation either, right? I had a lot of people saying to me, oh, I tried to get one and I couldn't even order it, so now I went and bought an iPad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ow.
So, just to be clear, those were in stock.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
But Apple, it isn't, by the way, this happens to Apple, too. I mean, this happens to Apple, too. If you wanted to buy a Mac Pro today, you'd have to wait till March to get it. So, I mean, this is not unusual. It's very hard to predict sales, and you're.
Well, okay.
I think once
let me ask you a question: if you went to the Apple website and tried to order a Mac Pro,
you'd at least be told yes.
Could you order one?
Yes, and you'd be told you won't get it to March.
Microsoft never
just
offers
take it off.
A way.
Yeah,
yeah, just out of stock.
Yeah, but I think that's probably not the right way to handle that.
No, it's God. They're trying to give you their money.
Yeah,
take the money.
Yeah, but and say we'll have some. If you order it today, we'll have some in March. We do that with the Leo bobbleheads, you know.
Right. These things are incredibly.
They're in stock. They're on their way.
We actually
they're like Leo, but they're small. Their heads move around.
If you go to teespring.com/twit, you'll see that we, in fact, will not build this bobblehead until we've sold 300 of them. We let you order it. We don't take your money. And then we, by the way, there's only 4 days and 7 hours left to get it up to 300. We only need to sell 91 more. And then you too could be the proud owner of that. Ah! It's scary.
I like that he's sitting on a ball.
Well, yeah, we did. This is actually made from a picture of me. And then they took a Photoshop shrink pen and made me thin, which I like. Sure. That was one of my conditions. Yep. Only $30. Teespring, teespring.com/twit. 91 more and we'll build it. But that's one way to handle it, by the way. I mean, you're not going to do that, but you're going to say, but one way to handle it is say, you know, okay, we understand. I mean, and this is not in public. In the boardroom. Yeah, we took $900 million write-off. We don't want to make too many. Well, fine. Wait till you get the orders and then make them and say, okay, but you can't have it till March. How long does it take to make and ship? Can't be more than a month.
Nobody knows.
No one knows because no one's talking.
Non-transparent. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that's really, and I understand that that's your complaint.
Yeah. And I just checked now on the Microsoft.com online store. And the good news for those who've been trying to get Surface Pro 2s is the 128 gig and the 256 gig are now back in stock.
Oh, good.
Those haven't been in stock in months.
Good. Yeah. And that's the one you want.
And the Surface Pro 2 is still there as well? Let me look.
Yep.
How do you feel about memory on those, by the way? The Surface, it seems like 64 would be enough because it's really just, I mean, it's not.
Yes, I agree with that completely. I mean.
But the Pro, you're going to want more because it's a computer.
Well. Maybe. I mean, it depends on what you do. I mean, obviously, there are people with the kind of mobile workstation needs and whatnot. But honestly, I think for the typical office worker with cloud computing and the ability to sync stuff back and forth, the amount of space you need for applications and for data has gone down dramatically, I would say. And if you really need it, you can add micro SD expansion. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but the amount of stuff that I need to put on a computer to get to work has gone down dramatically.
Yeah. I always buy the lowest memory model. But, hey, you don't need a lot of memory to run Notepad.
Right.
Files, and those files are small, small, small.
Right. I store everything on SkyDrive pretty much, file-wise and photo-wise.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying for an RT. 64 is probably even more than you need.
Yeah.
So
not
ours
for everybody, but yeah.
Ars Technica has updated it. But they did write an article. It said stealth marketing, Microsoft paying YouTubers for Xbox One mentions. Machinima campaign offered undisclosed money to videos promoting new consoles. But you say no, not true.
How come that headline doesn't say Machina paying YouTubers for Xbox One mentions? Since that is what happened.
Machinima is actually, well, that's what it says, offered undisclosed money.
Yeah, right, but the heading, that huge thing above it.
Says Microsoft. Why didn't it say Machinima?
It says Microsoft.
So Microsoft says, no.
This is like saying Microsoft pays company to make commercial. You know, except that Microsoft, of course, when they make a commercial, would have final say over what happens, whereas in this case, these people are out doing viral campaigns that Microsoft has no knowledge of. I find it weird. The thing about the story, you know, people were kind of hitting on me yesterday on Twitter, like, why aren't you writing about this? What's going on? Like, this huge story has happened, and you're ignoring it. And I was trying to figure out what actually had happened, and it wasn't what everyone said had happened. And I find it odd, here we are years later, where there's still this kind of knee-jerk Microsoft clearly did something wrong reaction, no matter what the story is. I mean, Microsoft does things wrong enough that we don't need to make stuff up. I mean, we just talked about the Surface thing, for example. To me, this is no, this is, I mean, there's an FTC issue where if you're paid to endorse something, you have to disclose that.
And well, so and there's also lately a Google issue because Matt Cutts has really gone on the warpath for paid blog posts and sponsored posts and cross posts and all that stuff.
But there
are legitimate issues. And it's very clear that the line is increasingly being blurred. I'm not saying by Microsoft, but just in general.
I just want to be clear here. What I'm asking for is for Microsoft to pay us to do what we're doing, and I don't understand why they don't. But it just seems like
we should be clear. We get no money. You don't get any money from Microsoft, do you?
No.
Mary Jo, do you get any money from Microsoft?
Every time I write about Windows XP, ka-ching.
Right. Don't even say that in jest.
I know.
We get
no
money
from
Microsoft. If complaints were money, I would be rich.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the same for Paul. We can't even own any shares in Microsoft if we cover the company. Like, we're just not allowed to.
I don't have that as a corporate policy, but we do not own shares in the companies that I cover for clear reasons. I mean, for the, you know, I don't want to call them moral reasons, but because that's wrong.
Assertion was that Machinima, which is a probably the most powerful YouTube publishing company, was offering its partners $3 per 1,000 views for posting videos featuring Xbox One content.
Right.
Machinima does not deny this, right?
No, they've been very upfront about it because this happens all the time. It's no big deal.
Yes.
But here's
now the money. Now, the money, if you trace it back, might have come from Microsoft, some marketing money from Microsoft. But that doesn't mean that Microsoft's direction was now pass this along.
Microsoft did not have any knowledge or approval of this scheme.
Right.
So, you know, whatever. But what they did, I mean, Microsoft also is not innocent of understanding what Machinima might do, or Machinima, whatever they call it.
Yeah, you don't give $1 million to Machinima and say, do whatever you want.
So, which is fine. But the issue here was basically that these video bloggers, and by the way, if you look at any of these video bloggers, I have to kind of wonder what the heck is going on in this little market of humanity. But they're supposed to disclose that they're being paid to promote a product. You know, if I was going to get up here and promote whatever, some product, Xbox One, I mean, that's a law, actually. And they didn't do that. And so apparently that is in the standard contract that this company has with whoever they pay, but it didn't make it to this one for some reason. It was a mistake, they claim, whatever. But now they're going to go back and fix the videos that are
obviously. Microsoft has said that we have asked Machinima to add, you know, paid advertising.
Right. Because that's what's supposed to happen. So, I don't know. Like, you know, it amazes me that the story is still Microsoft paid this. You know, look how terrible this is. Look how awful they are. They have to pay people to like their products. You know, like, this is the story that people really want to tell. And it's not really what happened.
Well, to be fair, what we don't know, and I'm not asserting this happened, but we don't know is what conversations Microsoft had with Machinima about what to do with the marketing dollars. I mean, what does Machinima do?
Well, except that there are statements from both companies saying that this was completely Machinima that came up with this and they did it. And
Microsoft. What did Microsoft think they were buying?
What
ads?
I assume they thought they were buying video bloggers saying that they loved Xbox One.
Right.
And that this would be done on the up and up. And
that's the only difference. Is this is what they wanted, but they expected it would be billed as paid advertising.
I assume what didn't happen was a money-filled briefcase didn't exchange cans in the back of a limousine. And that, you know, it creates this kind of a strange situation where, you know, people have all this imagination about how it was. But, and the other thing that comes out now, of course, is that, as it turns out, this kind of thing happens all the time. I don't know if it was Activision or Electronic Arts or somebody, but shocker, they also pay, you know, video bloggers to promote whatever, you know, video game they're doing or whatever it is.
Now, the deal Machinima, according to Ars Technica, made with its bloggers, with its video posters, was they could not, neither could they say anything bad about Xbox One or Machinima, nor could they say it was paid. And that actually is illegal.
That's
illegal.
Yep. Not Microsoft. But, yes.
It goes against FTC guidelines. Maybe it's not strictly illegal, but it is a violation of FTC rules.
Yeah.
I would know Microsoft's savvy enough not to encourage that kind of behavior.
Well, I mean, look, you can turn on your TV and see an all-day ad on some channel for some product, you know. And you know when you're watching that's what it is. The point is you don't want this gray area where someone's promoting a product and you don't know what it is. You know, if Mary Jo or I write a review of some Microsoft product, which we do, or some product by a PC maker or whatever it is, you know, you're getting an opinion. If we happen to like it, someone might come and say, oh, your website has the word Windows or Microsoft in it. Of course you like it. You're a total shill. And, you know, and that's not what that is. This isn't about we're not promoting a product. You know, I try to be transparent on my own website and I write about the products I actually use, not because the company who makes those products, which I actually paid for, by the way, is paying me to do so, but because, you know, this is my opinion. It's a review. It's just a good, bad, or indifferent. I like certain things and I don't like certain things.
Well, as an example, here's your page, by the way. Great picture.
I know, thank you. Finally, the kudos I deserve for that graphic.
I don't even know what the genesis of that is, but I love it.
That's one of the video bloggers explaining why he took money to promote Xbox One.
He is?
Yep.
Wow. But it's very clear, and we do the same thing. It says advertisement here. It says advertisement there. You know, advertisements are clearly billed as advertisements. The rest is editorial. And this is why I think I'm more up in arms about this kind of behavior, is it really reflects badly on tech journalists. And then maybe it just makes it clear.
This reflects badly on everybody.
We are not the same as these YouTube videos. Yeah. We do something different. It's called...
Again, don't get me wrong. Would love to be paid. Would love that. Love it. Love getting money.
I wasn't going to tell you guys, but I have a Leo bobblehead for each of you. Oh, money. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't say, oh, you're right.
Oh, money. Oh, that's
Paul,
something else.
The Twitch check arrived, but it's three-dimensional. It looks like Leo.
I could be making bobbleheads of you guys.
I'm promoting Xbox One, and I'm not getting paid for it. I find this to be very unfair.
You know, we actually legitimately like Xbox One.
Oh, right. That's what,
Isn't that weird?
I know. Jeez.
When are
so
we getting
kind
update?
Of a lost cause from a promotional standpoint.
I keep
standpoint.
Going to the App Store. I'm waiting for my Amazon streaming. Is that ever going to happen?
Yeah. It will.
Yeah. It just takes time. I look every week I go on my Xbox One. New apps? No.
I know. It's like a wasteland in there. I should say the good news is it started out with a lot of apps. But
yeah. I mean, I have Netflix. I have Hulu Plus. I have a Blu-ray player. I can watch DVDs. I mean, I'm really liking it. But
you're not seeing new apps every week.
But I'm waiting for Amazon streaming. That's the one I want. And that's up to Amazon, by the way. You think it will?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. HP at it again. The CEO rumor mill churns and Microsoft coming up in moments. But first, this word. From Personal Capital. One of our great sponsors. They make this show possible. Yes, my friends, this is an advertisement. In case you didn't know. Maybe I need a little blinking light over my head that goes on. Advertisement. Advertisement.
Yeah.
The difference is we're very selective about the advertisers. We only do one ad every half hour. And we just really, this is how we pay for the whole thing. We don't charge you. Personal Capital is actually very cool. They don't charge you either, which I like. Personal Capital was founded by a guy I interviewed on Triangulation more than a year ago, a former CEO of PayPal and Intuit. He learned an awful lot about money, about finance, and thought there's got to be a better way to help people manage their money. A guy named Bill Harris founded a company called Personal Capital, and he told me about it, actually, when he said, we're starting up this thing, and I signed up at that time. And I love it. I've been using it ever since. It's a dashboard to all your accounts. And so, and I think sometimes people in their 20s maybe who are listening to the show say, well, I don't need to worry about investments, blah, blah, blah. No, this is exactly when you want to start. If you build your 401k now, you can retire gracefully with lots of money. But if you wait till your 30s and 40s, it's a little harder. Personal Capital lets you know exactly where you stand. All your accounts, keep track of them all. get a financial dashboard. They've got great mobile apps. And then with the help of Personal Capital, you'll know how to invest. And that's the key. They don't charge you for this. It's absolutely free. You'll get specific advice on your investment strategy. It's all on one screen on your computer, your phone, or your tablet. Beautiful bar charts and graphs. And I love it. Try it for free. Why not? Give it a shot. They've been featured not only here, but on Time, in Time Magazine, on Forbes, and Bloomberg. Your financial life in one place. Get your free account at personalcapital.com/windows. We just ask you to go to that. You can do any page, but if we ask you to go to that page, let them know that you heard about it here. Personal Capital, personalcapital.com/windows. It'll just take a minute or so to get set up. It's completely free. And I'm really telling you, this is, even if you say, I'm too young, I don't need to worry about investments, now is the time. I'm not saying you're gonna buy real estate in Miami. This is about planning for your future. PersonalCapital.com/windows. Give it a try today. And by the way, you don't have to be 20. It's never too late to get this stuff together. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking windows. I was really wondering what you would think. And we talked about this earlier in the week. HP says, yeah, by popular demand, Windows 7.
I think Meg Whitman is like that woman in the beginning of The Wizard of Oz who hates the dog, except that the dog is Microsoft.
Your little dog, too. Yeah. It does. It is a blow. I mean, it is the kind of thing where you're effectively saying, and this is one of, I don't know if it's Microsoft's biggest OEM, but it's one of the top two or three, right?
These guys used to be joined at the hip.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years ago, they were making these Athena PC of the future demos at Microsoft, and they were, you know, they followed Microsoft on every, you know, possible product stupidity that they could come up with together. I mean, they were just, you know.
Does this mean that Meg Whitman is off the list now for CEO?
She's off the Christmas list, I can tell you that.
But I think from a business point of view, I mean, isn't this HP saying, yeah, people want this, and we're going to give it to you?
I think this is more like HP saying, I don't know what people want, so let's give them a little bit of everything and see what sticks. You know, but yeah, certainly that would be one way of looking at it.
I mean, we don't know. I don't see why they would have any animus towards Microsoft. It's not like, screw you,
really?
Microsoft.
Well, actually, I do. Microsoft made Surface, and Meg Whitman infamously late last year publicly said they're not a partner, they're not a frenemy, they're a competitor.
Oh.
So that's a change.
Yeah. I increasingly feel like there's a lot of animosity with HP and Microsoft.
Is it not the case, though? Okay, I think you're right. I forgot about that. I forgot about this whole Surface thing.
And the Chromebook thing and the Android thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah, they're selling a lot of those, I think. Is it not the case, though, that Windows 7 purchases are up for everybody?
Market share. I think Net Applications' last number still has Windows 7 gaining a market share. And, you know, it's not a huge surprise when you think about businesses who are partially through their deployments on Windows 7 and people who are upgrading from XP, hopefully, to Windows 7.
Yeah, please upgrade.
Jump onto that Next OS you're never going to get rid of for the next decade.
I know, yeah.
But look at it from HP's point of view. Not only does Microsoft go into business against it for the first time ever, making Windows computers, but they might reasonably say, and our business is dying because of Microsoft's Windows 8.
Okay, but if I could just flip that on its side a little bit. Microsoft did not out of the blue make Surface PCs because they just felt like getting into another business. You know, the fact remains that for the past 10 years more, PC makers have been making really lackluster products. They've been adding junk to them, which ruins the experience. And Microsoft has been begging them with every Windows release, please, 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 please. They did Signature. No one took it up. No one took them up on Signature, not one of them. And, you know, Surface was a reaction to what these guys were doing, not, you know, just some whim. Like, what the heck? We'll make PCs. It'll be fun. We'll be like Apple. You know, the problem was Microsoft wasn't getting its experience out to users. It was being subverted by companies that put multiple versions of drivers or old versions of drivers on their products. It was just, and so, yeah, okay. But, you know, the animosity had been one way for a really long time. I mean, I think Microsoft just got tired of it. And, you know, as is so often the case of Microsoft, the only question I have is what took so long? I mean, this has been a long-term problem. So, you know, Meg Whitman wasn't around for that. But, I mean, certainly this was a product, partially at least, of HP's making.
Yeah. And by the way, they still are touting Windows 8 PCs on their small business page, too. It's like this is the one that's front and center this week. But if you dig into their site, it's like, it's not like they're not advertising Windows 8 PCs at all, right? They're still there.
And it's also fair to note that this isn't different from the past, right? I mean, except that they're advertising it. You know, these big corporate-oriented PC makers have always sold.
The thing that stings is by popular demand.
Yes. Right. That's the little, that's the...
Zinger.
That's
It's basically saying, we know you hate Windows 8, so we're going to continue to offer. Now, by the way, doesn't this end in October? I mean, they can't sell Windows 7 after October. Isn't that when the OEM license goes away?
They posted that date, Microsoft did, and then they took it back and said, you know what? We're not totally sure.
We're not going to say. That's right.
Yeah.
Will this hasten that date or will it slow it down?
I don't think this changes anything, really. Okay. It's just a little, you know. It's just another one of those little things, you know. I always bring out this quote because I loved it so much. I was complaining about Dell at this point years and years ago to someone from Microsoft, and he said, you know what? Dell and Microsoft deserve each other. And, you know, HP and Microsoft deserve each other. It's the same thing. It's just, you know, just animosity.
Well, gives us stuff to write about.
Yep.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, over the past year, one of the things that happened, and I think this plays into this too, HP is not the world's biggest PC maker anymore. Lenovo is. And we better start selling Android devices. Oh, we better start doing Chromebooks. Oh, we better push Windows 7, see if that works, is all an effort to see what, if anything, can reverse that trend.
Yeah. And do remember, HP at one moment was getting out of the PC business entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think what you reliable company. I can see why people.
Well, that's the thing. I think what you see here is HP trying to find something.
Yeah,
it's got to be tough right now for Dell, HP, Lenovo, everybody.
Oh yeah,
people are not buying PCs as much as they used to.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, there are parts that they did to help cause this. I mean, there's some stuff that they can't control. The world is moving on. You know, tablets and simpler devices, and that's beyond their control. But man, did they do a lot to subvert the appeal of a PC. There are people who will have PCs coming up for renewal, you know, individuals or businesses, who are going to look at this thing and think, you know, I don't know if I want to go through this again. And that's really not the, you know, the kind of goodwill you're looking for from your customers.
Right.
And that's a lot of that is from them. You know, people can complain about Windows 8 all
the time. HP crapped their computers up more than anybody.
That's terrible. So, yeah, that's part of it.
Well, I have two words for you. Hans Vestberg.
Nice.
Hans Vestberg.
I'm disappointed that we need to even know who that guy is. But
I have no idea who Hans Vestberg is.
Right.
But apparently he's the next CEO of Microsoft, if you believe everything you read.
It's going to pump us up.
He's the CEO of Ericsson.
Yes, he is. Also an accomplished handball champion, we found out.
Oh, I like that.
Good to know.
Will that be handy? He probably has a strong wrist with which he can spank employees. I don't know why that would be useful, but I'm glad to hear it.
Great.
So what is Vestberg's? He's a device guy. Obviously, Ericsson's a device company. They sell smartphones. Great. Not the most successful. Yeah. I think didn't Sony buy him? And I mean, what happened to Ericsson?
I don't know the whole history of Sony Ericsson. But I do know that
Nokia of the smartphone world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ericsson, though, I don't know if you guys remember this. Ericsson bought Microsoft's media room business that was making the TV services over broadband. So that's probably when the executives interacted. That was last year, I think. So, yeah, he's the CEO of Ericsson. and he's done a lot of different jobs from the Bloomberg story that reported that he's the new hot.
But he has been there since 1988. Sorry, but that doesn't mean he's got a wide range of experience, does it?
He was the CFO. Then he became the CEO. He's held management positions all over the world, China, Brazil, Mexico. So
he's young.
He's young.
He's in his 40s. So
48.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's like, what do you think? Is he a credible candidate? I don't know who is credible or not credible at this point. He's just another rumored candidate. One of the many.
And he's been good for Ericsson's stock price. It's been up 19%. In the last 4 years, although it's still a tiny company compared to Microsoft.
Yeah.
I think you need somebody who's got a broader range of experience. I'm telling you, an army general.
Might not be bad.
I like it.
Frank Shaw was a Marine, so he was the head of PR.
What's
at
General
Microsoft?
Petraeus doing these days?
I'm telling you, General Petraeus, he's the guy. Somebody like that, somebody who has real, I don't know, I'm crazy.
You're not crazy, because how many people have led organizations the size and complexity of Microsoft?
That's my point. I mean,
you're basically talking about presidents,
somebody
leaders
in the
of
Joint
massive
Chiefs
military
of Staff.
Organizations,
yeah.
And possibly two or three other people.
Well, we don't know. I mean, this is challenging. Didn't they say, though, it would be over early in 2014? When? Soon. Next couple of months.
We should have a game we can play, like which will ship first, the Microsoft CEO or the power cover for Surface.
It's still not out. Wait a minute.
You know?
Yeah. The other rumor this week is whatever happens, Bill Gates is going to be a lot more involved in Microsoft. And, we've heard this before. We heard this when Bill Gates was retiring from his day-to-day duties at Microsoft 5 or 6 years ago. Don't worry, though. He's still going to be really involved.
Still
going to
be here.
I don't know. He's the chairman of the board, so obviously he is somewhat involved. But this week he did an interview on Bloomberg TV where he repeated for the millionth time, I am not coming back as the CEO of Microsoft. My foundation is my life's work. And yeah, I'm going to still help out through the board. And it didn't sound very convincing, like he was going to be doing a lot more around.
The thing people don't understand, there's a weird nostalgic thing for Bill Gates. Call it weird. It's understandable.
No.
But Bill Gates, he's in a position now or a place in life or whatever you want to say that it happens a lot in many areas of life. You can look at like professional sports coach where they kind of, at some point, no matter how good they are, they've kind of outlived their usefulness in that organization. They just don't have the same impact or whatever. Or if you want to just bring it back to technology, I always think about guys like Wozniak at Apple, who was a technical genius for that day, but wasn't going to transition into being a technical genius for the Mac and then beyond that. Or John Carmack, who had a lot of innovation around, at first like sideways scrolling type parallax scrolling, but then 3D video games and was really drove the technology for the first several generations of that. But, in many ways now is not at the forefront of what's happening in that world. Bill Gates is not it's not about getting older. He's just not involved. He's not part of it. And I just don't, we celebrate what he did, I guess, but I don't think.
Hey, he's not down and out. Did you see him on Jimmy Fallon the other night?
Yeah. that was pretty funny.
How can we help to get people to go to that website?
Well, it'd be great if we could create a viral video.
A viral video? I mean, but it's hard to do stuff like that. I mean, it's hard to make a viral video. Like, what'd you have in mind?
Maybe something like this. Gatesletter.com. 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 Gatesletter.com.
This is a man who has too much time on his hands.
I like the little hat.
I want the little hat. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That's the one thing I missed from Bill Gates being around was the funny videos.
Funny videos. He's the king.
I've seen a funny video out of Microsoft in a while.
Yeah.
Have we?
And I don't know what GatesLetter.com is, but I think I'm going there right now. It worked. this is his annual letter. I get it.
Right.
That was, you know what? He is a master of promotion. That worked.
Yep.
Got me to the website. It's nice to be able to get on Jimmy Fallon, of course, at will.
He is Bill Gates.
He is.
But no, you don't expect him to make a comeback on the board. I mean, we know he's not going to be CEO, but you don't think he's going to weigh in.
Can you even imagine having the energy to do that?
No.
I know.
No, he should stick with the
videos.
While
you're doing everything else.
Viral videos. All right, a couple of quick hits. Outlook.com. I always like that sweep stuff. The sweep's improved, even better.
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff I don't believe that has hit yet, but... Yeah, they're making a bunch of improvements at Outlook.com that are coming over the next few weeks. I don't know why I don't do this. I should keep a running tally of the improvements that Microsoft makes to services like this, because it's really interesting how you can look back after a year and realize how much better this thing has gotten. But I would just say to people that use or don't use Outlook.com, Sweep in particular is one of those cool features that maybe doesn't get enough press. And
I love
it's
Sweep.
Neat because... Well, it just puts a simple face on what we used to think of as email rules,
right,
or whatever.
Right, but it doesn't automatically.
You can use it to get rid of a bunch of gunk. Or you can set up these really nice things where you say, look, I've got maybe this newsletter that comes. I want to always have the most recent one. I want you to always get rid of all of the rest.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. It's super simple. It's just a neat feature. So there's a bunch of stuff going on with Outlook.com, but I would just kind of leave it at that. I think that's the – unless Mary Jo has something
to add to it. I have to say that's the benefit of a cloud service in general is that they can improve it. Always, constantly. I mean, that's the promise of it. You don't have to download and upgrade and install it. You don't have to notice it. It's automatically improved.
Like the Surface firmware update. It's great. There is literally no doubt.
We actually get a blog post about Outlook.com telling us what's coming.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Exactly.
Hey, I see that Microsoft, while they insist we are not going to patch Windows XP after April 8th. They are at least, you said this last week. They are offering off virus updates. I think you said this last week.
Yeah, we just got it into the show at the last minute last week.
So now this is official through 2015.
Right.
Not updating the virus program, but just getting the signatures updated.
Right.
Right.
So Microsoft Security Essentials and Forefront and Windows Intune, all these things are going to have their signatures updated. But Microsoft still is not going to actually issue security or any other kind of hotfix for XP after April 8th.
Yeah. 95% of all United States ATMs are running XP.
That's going to be a huge blow to IBM, which used to control that market.
Yeah.
I know. OS2. It was all OS2, right? What we don't know about that story, the ATM story, is how many of those ATMs are running XP embedded versus XP, because the end
That's
of life for XP embedded is further away.
Ah,
I think it's another year.
Okay.
Plus.
That is different.
I was going to say you can almost make a case that ATMs are obviously a specialty kind of application.
Yeah, but there's no, right now, we don't know if any that are not running XP embedded and they're running pure XP, their vendors are going to have to buy an extended contract.
The volume licensees, I'm sure.
Right.
And who knows how heavily customized these systems are. They are online.
I mean, I was going to say made me stop earlier. They are heavily connected, obviously. Yeah.
There's money on the other side of the window.
Yes.
Quite a lot of it.
Literally. So, it is literally a box full of money.
I do remember a hack a couple of years ago, an online hack where the guy had his stooges go around and collect the money, right? It was an ATM hack. And they had, they made tens of millions of dollars.
Wow.
I know a lot of, or I should say, at least several bank regulators. I worked in banking when I was younger. And when this internet stuff was kind of taking off with the public, and you could buy a Linksys router in Best Buy or whatever, there were a lot of mom and pop type banks that were using just regular off the shelf Wi-Fi to connect to a branch up the street or whatever. And this stuff was just wide open. I mean, it was so stupid how unsophisticated it was for some time.
Yeah.
But I have to think that even these XP ATM machine systems are not like that. I mean,
they're not like somebody's old PC online with a, you know,
because I get emails still regularly of the Nigerian variety, plus or minus whatever scam it is.
Me too.
But you would think, you know, the money's in the ATM machine. If you want to, you know, if you want to hack something, you might want to go after that.
That's where they got 20s in there.
Literally money. Yeah, literally full of money. If you blew it up, money would fly out of it.
And by the way, thanks to Web. Yeah, literally. I know.
Just literally full of money.
Yeah. Web 2018 in our chat room says that the product life cycle on XP Embedded is actually for quite some time.
Okay. I bet that is, knowing what used to be inside those machines. There's not a tower PC with a modem in it connected inside the ATM machine, right? It's going to be an embedded system.
Well, some small banks maybe, but it's firmware.
I bet not. The way the banking networks are now, I bet it's pretty standard.
Yeah. End of life schedule, Windows Embedded. We have to go way down to the bottom of the list for XP, don't we? Whoa.
Right. Jeez, then it'll say 2022.
Windows XP Professional for Embedded Systems 2016 and 2017, a month later, for toolkit and runtime. So you got a few years.
Relax.
3 years right there.
You got plenty of time. No sweat.
Next one will have Connect, so you can just gesture.
It's me. Hi, Leo. Would you like some money?
Well, all right, that's what we'll say. We'll walk up and say, hi, Leo.
Hi, Leo.
It looks like someone has a gun to your head. Sure you want to give out this money?
What's the safe word?
Right.
Banana. Tomorrow's the day we find out about earnings. How much will we find out? What do you expect? What kind of numbers?
I think we're both hoping to hear some new numbers on Surface sales and hopefully on Office 365 Home Premium, what they're up to now. I think last count we have 2 million subscribers on that. Surface sales last quarter were $400 million. So hopefully they're going to give a comparative number to that. But I've been looking at some of the earnings estimates that are coming out today, and people are saying they could still do pretty well in spite of the whole decline of the PC thing, because PC business is typically very strong, even when the consumer business is softer. Office has been a very traditional, strong suit for them in every quarter in recent history. So if they continue with those two trends as they did in the last quarter, they still could do pretty decently on earnings. I'm seeing some people say that there's an average estimate they could make $23.6 billion for the quarter in revenues. So that would be up 10%.
Wow, not bad. From
the previous.
I'm always kind of hopeful and always then disappointed that I will hear numbers, meaning non-money numbers, Windows license sales, Surface unit sales, Office 365 Home Premium licenses, whatever it is. I don't think I'm going to hear a lot of that stuff, but I would like to. You can derive certain things from the money, obviously. They've recently changed the way that they report things, which makes it confusing in some ways, but... it'll be interesting regardless. I will predict that the story you will see by and large in the tech and mainstream press will include some phrase about the PC market downturn, and it will be one of the following. Either despite PC market downturn, Microsoft soldiers forward with whatever, or feeling the effects of the PC market downturn, Microsoft fell, blah, 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 whatever. That's going to be the story. They're going to work it into that as you know, maybe rightfully they should.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. I've just gone through the list of stuff here. VS 2013 Update 1 is out. I don't even know what you're talking about.
is just a quick reference.
Oh, yeah. Wowzer told me.
Visual Studio 2013, the development tool suite. Microsoft already has Update 1 out for that, just a few months after shipping the product. If you remember, the tools team said they're going to be doing regular updates almost on a quarterly basis. Last year, they did that. Looks like they're going to do it again this year. They're already working on update 2. That should be out in test form very soon. So Visual Studio users, update your Visual Studio.
One thing that we have been receiving endless press releases about and have not mentioned once anywhere on this network, to my knowledge, is Beats Music.
Interesting.
I just feel like the market's saturated. It's there. Everybody's found one, whether it's Spotify or RDO or Google Music or Amazon Music or iTunes. Everybody's found something, and it's like, why do we need another one?
Why are they doing it? Yeah. So I that was my initial reaction, and I started looking at it, and I realized, actually, they're onto something here. So there are two things I think that are interesting. One is straight from the Xbox Music playbook, meaning no one has ever heard of it, so that's perfect, which is it's actually kind of an all-in-one service, which is something you don't see elsewhere. And so they offer the full range of services. So you get the radio stuff, the ability to make your own playlist, the ability to host a cloud collection, the ability to buy music if you want to do that. You know, it's the whole thing. So that's kind of interesting.
But, Google Music does that. Google Music does that. iTunes has iTunes Radio now. So
yeah, but the Google, the Amazon, and the Apple stuff started off as kind of what
they
I would call...
They were stores first.
Right, and they kind of added this other stuff in.
Yeah.
The difference, the thing is, that the way that music has changed is that I think most people who listen to digital music these days are listening to what I would call an internet radio station.
Yeah. Pandora being the
Pandora, Spotify, example. That kind of
thing.
Looking at this, the second thing that they did that I think that makes it interesting. Actually, there are three things. One is that they're very platform agnostic. And so we see some stuff on Windows Phone, it's something like Spotify where it's never kept up to date, which is irritating, but at least it's there.
Yeah.
These guys announced from day one, we're going to be Android, we're going to be iOS, we're going to be Windows Phone. I think that's cool. So that made me want to look at it. The third one is they're tying into a wireless operator, in this case AT&T Wireless. That's not completely unique, but what is unique is that if you do that, you have the option to buy a family plan. And so the standard plan for this is $9.99 a month, three devices, one user. But if you do a family plan with AT&T, it's $14.99 a month, five users, all of whom can have their own collections, and 10 devices. And actually, that's a pretty good deal for, assuming you're a family of music lovers, and we'll take advantage of that. So that's interesting. It's obviously it's AT&T only, so if you're in Verizon or if you live somewhere else, it's not necessarily so great. But I think those three things together make it at least worth looking at, depending on your situation. Looking at it, I will say now that it is probably most like Spotify. And so if you're already using Spotify and you're paying for Spotify, meaning you can download music to your phone, you don't necessarily have to switch, but it's just something I'll keep my eye on. Friday, the Windows Phone app is coming out. I'm curious to see what that's like. I use Xbox Music. I think Mary Jo does as well, but we're probably some of the only people on earth to do that. I actually think the service is fantastic, but obviously we all have different needs.
Boy, that was easy. I just signed up for it.
Yeah. Whoops.
If you have AT&T,
it's a nice app.
It texted me a code. I entered the code, and now it's done. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's not bad. I would say, the thing that they tout that I didn't list that they tout is sort of an advantage. I'm not much of a radio guy personally, radio music. They have hired a lot of music experts, and they have lots of curated radio stations and playlists and things. And there are a lot of them. I think you'll be shocked by how much is in there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of content in there. And they have a cool way of creating something. It's kind of like a Mad Libs thing. You say, I'm doing this. I'm with this person. I'm in this kind of a mood. And it's like you construct this sentence. It's literally called a sentence. And you say something like, I'm driving. I'm going to go work out. I want to listen to hard rock music and, whatever, and it gives you this kind of aggressive hard rock music, right? And they have goofy playlists like based around moods, like you're depressed or someone has broken up with you or you're celebrating or whatever it is, you're working out, that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there, so if you like music and you're particularly interested in something that works across multiple device types, I think that's the big deal here too. You should check this one out.
It won't let me so much for that.
What's that?
It doesn't like my email. And it says somebody named Leo Laporte's already a member. They did acquire Mog, which I was a member of, and I'm wondering maybe my Mog account is still.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Mog was really pretty good at internet radio. Yeah, it's Jimmy Iovine, it's Dr. Dre, it's Beats, it's good, it's music, it's got red headphones, makes you want to dance.
It's for the young kids, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, but seriously, again, just from a music lover perspective, there is a lot there, so.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's worth
it. It'll be interesting to see if I could convince my kids. So I have an AT&T family plan to, like, hey, this is what you want.
That's kind of a big deal. I mean, in you know, my wife listens to Pandora a lot, and so we pay for that because you get better quality music and
I
so
do.
Forth.
I pay for Pandora. I love it. Far. Yeah.
One of my kids uses Spotify for some reason. My daughter actually has an Xbox Music Pass of her own.
See, that's the problem.
So we're all over the place. And that's why I think these all-in-one services are particularly interesting, especially one that has the notion of a group of people. It's kind of like Office 365 Home Premium. You know, you're not doing this thing in isolation. You can have a unique experience for each person. There's some value to that. So it's at least worth, I'm not saying you should switch from whatever you're doing. I'm just saying you should, if you love music and listen to music a lot, you should at least look at it. That was way more time than I meant to spend on Beats Music.
Well, no, I think you're the first one on the entire network to spend any time on it at all. So I'm glad we did.
I called them out on Twitter because they referred to Windows Phone as Windows Mobile.
What?
And I was like, attention, you know. And I miswrote Beats Music as Beats Mobile, which someone called me on. And I said, right, see how it feels?
See, how's that feel? How do you like it now?
See what happens?
Yeah. Beats Music. So there's the app. But it doesn't have an iPad version, just an iPhone version.
Right, right. Well, apparently the iPad version is coming.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll install it. We'll see. Finally, in this wrap-up of shorts, and then there were two, Nintendo pulls a BlackBerry. The Wii U has really not been doing so well.
Yeah. I had a theory that that wasn't a problem for Nintendo. And like many of my theories, that is not true. So this is a huge problem for Nintendo. And even though their 3DS is the best-selling video game device, the sales of that are well below projections as well. And so they've actually lowered their estimates for the year on both of these devices fairly dramatically, I think by 70%, if I'm not mistaken, on the Wii U. And, of course, people are calling for them to once again embrace mobile, as I think they should, too, and get at least their legacy games going on these touchscreen devices that everyone are using. And so the reason I put this in here is because we talked about how BlackBerry didn't have a fallback plan. And neither does Nintendo. You know, they don't make medical devices. They don't sell insurance. They don't have a home computer lineup or whatever. They just make video games. And when no one is buying your video games, you know, you get a problem.
Yeah. Yep. People get so mad at me for not believing in Nintendo.
Sure. Like they're Disney, you know. All they have to do is spread their pixie dust and everything's going to be
fine.
How
could you not believe in Nintendo?
All right. Remember, I think it was Bill Gates when asked, this is for 15 years ago, but he said, you know, who are your biggest competitors? And it was like, is it Apple? Is it, you know, these companies that are, and he said, no, it was Nintendo. And Sony, I think, were the companies he pegged.
Well, you won, Bill. Microsoft won.
Well, through no fault of Microsoft's, both of those companies.
You won. You can retire in glow of the success. Give him the laurels.
It was nice when we could just fixate on the Japanese as the source of all of our problems.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, well, I think I should do this. Yes, our chief competitors here at Twit are a radio station in Toledo and the tire store down the street. And
yeah,
all we got to do is beat them and life will be golden.
Bingo.
Bingo. Profit.
Yeah.
Tip of the week, software pick of the week, a beer and more. A beer that sounds like a cigar and more. Coming up in just a bit, but first a word about IT Pro TV. Love these guys. They came down and visited, sat in the studio, and, you know, okay, you're going to think it's self-serving. One of the reasons I love them is because they love me. They love the screensavers. They were weaned, as many of you I know were, on the screensavers, and decided, you know, they had been in the business of teaching people to get their license or their certificate requirements, you know, their COP TIA and their Cisco and the other certs. And then they decided, hey, you know, why are we doing it in the same old way, you know, with classes and stuff? Why don't we copy the screensavers? Why don't we copy Twit and do something more interesting? Now they're on Roku. They're on any device you want. They stream. You can watch day and night. They have live shows with chat rooms just like ours. This is so cool. I'm talking about IT Pro TV. You can visit and find out more at IT Pro. There's Don right now. He's in there. I guess he's live.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty common problem. Your average end user isn't savvy enough, doesn't know enough to not click OK on every box that pops up. You know,
so this is for IT professionals who want to get better at their job. There's the chat room. This is so cool. Maybe you're looking to get an A-plus certificate or an MC. What do they call the Microsofts? MCSAs now? Whatever they call the Microsofts now. The Ciscos, or maybe you want to get a CompTIA certificate. You probably looked into what it takes to go get training, to go to a class. Even the books are really expensive. For less than the cost of a book, you can get a month of unlimited viewing of IT Pro TV. Their classes, if you look at the episode library, are divided up to reflect the test questions. So it's very easy to go to the section you want to study up on, or you do as many of us do. You just have it on all the time. And you will upgrade your brain. The episode library is growing all the time. I just think this is a great deal. Now, normally it would be $57 a month, $570 if you buy a year. That's still a very great deal, but we've got an offer for you. Because they love Twit, they have agreed to give you 50% off, half off. That means if you sign up now and use the offer code WW50, it's only $28.50 a month, $285 for the year, half off right now. So go to itpro.tv/ww and find out more about IT Pro TV. These guys are just doing it. They're knocking it out of the park. It's great to put it on your Roku, and you can have it on the big screen and have it on all day. The all-access pass means this: everything is available to you, always, at all times. And it's organized to redress the exam objectives for each cert. That way you can go right there. If you visit itpro.tv/ww, you can test drive the content too, so you get an idea of what you're looking at. Get started today. Remember, because you're in the know, you get 50% off with the offer code WW50. Tip of the hat to the guys at IT Pro TV. They're doing a great job. Speaking of great job, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, about to wrap things up for this edition of Windows Weekly. A reminder, our time is new. It is Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. Join us Wednesdays. The show comes out a day earlier because of it. And you can watch live, and we love it if you do. We get a lot of value out of the chat room on the show. So thank you, chat room. Appreciate it. Nice to have you. Pick of the week, Mr. Paul Thurrott.
So, log me in this week. I don't know if you saw this story. So you did see the story. They killed their free product, Log Me In Free. And so now they're offering Log Me In Pro, their remote desktop solution, for $99 a year.
Which is a great deal. Excuse me.
Actually, well, the thing is, you know, I've used Log Me In products for a long time. I used to pay for that. In fact, I paid for Pro even when there was a free for many years, because that was kind of the way you did it. And it works well and all that kind of stuff. But I don't mind paying for something that works. But the thing is, there are a lot of free alternatives. And they did this in kind of a way that I think rubbed people the wrong way, which was to say, we all woke up one day and they said, hey, by the way, we're getting rid of the free one. You now have 7 days to figure it out. So I just wrote up a post about some of the alternatives. And then since then, people have been commenting on that. And there's some more in the comments. But the other side issue, I guess this is a side tip. If you're writing a blog and you want to write about specific products, be prepared for people who make other products to promote those products in your blog.
Oh, boy.
So is it TeamViewer?
Because TeamViewer has been, I've been getting a lot of email from TeamViewer saying, you know, there's a free alternative. You know, there's a free alternative, which is actually very good.
TeamViewer is the one that people were telling me to try out. Yeah. And that's a good one. I'm not going to name the one that's been spamming me the hardest, but there are other options, basically. I actually do pay for something called LogMe and Himachi, you know, another LogMe and product.
I was mad because they bought Himachi, which was open source and free. Or maybe not open source, but was free.
Well, there used to be a free version for individual use, and now it's not. But it's not expensive. And I like that product a lot because, honestly, a lot of times for me when I'm on the road and I want to access my home server, I don't want to access the desktop. I just want to get to the files that are on there. And what this lets me do is open File Explorer, use the network interface, and connect to it just as if I were sitting here. And then I can drag and drop the files. And that's to me, that's amazing. I can also do remote desktop over Himachi using the software built into Windows because, again, when you create a virtual private network, it's like you're on the network with the other computer. So that's a fairly inexpensive option. Some people in my blog comments talked about ways you can do port forwarding on your router to hit a particular computer when you're on the road as well. I'm sure that opens us up to all kinds of security nightmares, but whatever, you can do that. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do it. So. If you are a LogMeIn free user and you're looking for an alternative, there are many out there. Chrome even has an extension, I guess, that does remote desktop. Although I won't touch that one with with the 10-foot stick personally. But, you know, if you use Chrome, you could try that.
And, of course, there's our regular sponsor, Citrix, and GoToMyPC. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when we mention Go to My PC, people say, well, there's a free LogMeIn. We're going to use a free one. And I don't blame people for using the free one. But obviously, the free model did not work. It was a freemium model and didn't work for them. And sometimes
that's another one I'm curious about what happened because it was just so sudden and weird how they did it.
I think they ran out of
If you read their post, they don't actually say why.
Yeah.
They just say, we're doing it. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think you have to read too hard between the lines to figure it didn't make business sense.
They probably weren't upsizing a lot of people to the payment, I guess.
Because when you go, see, the people who use the free solutions use it because it's free.
Oh, right. Right.
I mean, honestly, that's, you know,
three,
that's
three,
why people
four
use
months
TeamViewer.
From now, we'll be talking about what you can use because TeamViewer got rid of their free version.
Yeah.
But in the meantime.
It's hard to, there are some things like games where freemium makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And all of our sponsors do free trials. But really, if somebody is a cheapskate and says, I want remote access, but I don't want to pay for it. I mean, there's VNC. There are lots of choices out there. You can always use VNC.
I just think if you're a person that actually needs remote access.
You should pay for it.
You actually need this. Right. How could you?
It's a
business. You're in the position where you have remote access needs, but you can't afford to pay for a remote
access.
Well,
that's it. I mean, and if you're just fixing friends' computers or whatever, then fine. And that's TeamViewer is a good choice there. I'm sorry, LogMeIn is free. Is gone.
Yeah. It's just at LogMeIn, you know, $99 a year. I kind of get that's expensive.
Yeah. Well, all of it's expensive if you pay for it.
Yes. Yes.
Is there not still VNC? I mean, is that?
Of course. That was one of the ones that was recommended, I think, by those guys.
Yeah. And that's free because it's open source. It will always be free. You don't.
It's like sharks circling like a broken boat. You know, like I don't know how they find out about this stuff, but anyway, it's just.
They do. There's this thing called Google.
Sure.
They search. And you're probably very well indexed, I would guess.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes.
You are also well indexed.
You
are.
Working out your indexes are obviously buff. Sorry, Mary Jo. We're just having a little thing here. Software pick of the week.
Let me collect myself. All right, so this is just a quick one. Microsoft has these fantastic apps that they bundle with Windows, the Bing content apps. And there are a lot of them now in 8.1. So, but the classic three or four, I guess, are Bing News, Bing Weather, Bing Finance, and Bing Sports. And they all debuted with Windows 8. And then in 8.1, they've added, you know, food and drink and health and fitness. There's some other stuff, too, but... they started porting these apps to Windows Phone 8. And so sometime last year, I think last August, if I'm not mistaken, the core four apps, news, weather, finance, and sports appeared on Windows Phone. And they're awesome on Windows Phone. They're really good. This week, they updated the Bing Sports app to include some new features. The big one being live game experiences, which is one of those things maybe you've done on ESPN.com or whatever, where you're not in front of a TV. Maybe you're traveling, you're out in the world, whatever it is. but some important games going on that you really care about, they have live coverage of that stuff. And so they do it for NBA basketball games, NFL football, and a bunch of international soccer slash football, whatever they call it where you live, type leagues that I just don't actually know anything about. So if you have a Windows phone, you should have all these apps. The weather app is fantastic as well. It's a nice live tile you can put on there for the live forecast and all that stuff. So,
well, not just Windows phone. I mean, Windows too, right?
You know, Windows too. But, you know, I don't know if the Bing Sports app on Windows has gotten this update or already had it.
I love the Bing apps. And they, you know, they come with Windows, so you have it if you have a Surface.
Yeah, but they are, they're just, you know, like, they're not throwaway apps. These are actually great apps.
They've hired editorial staff. I mean, these are publications. This isn't junk.
The other thing is, and I'm writing about this in the book, is that the Windows apps have, like, these surprising integration bits. Like, everyone talks about things like, you know, Xbox Music is integrated with Windows, you know, and Xbox games are integrated with Windows and all that kind of stuff. And yes, but it's actually kind of amazing. You can integrate the, you know, the finance app can integrate with various, like E-Trade and all of those kind of services. The health and fitness app integrates with Microsoft Health Vault. You know, there's actually a bunch of integration in these apps that I think a lot of people just aren't aware of. That's really kind of cool. So Bing Sports is not like that. It's a sports app, but it's a great one if you have a phone, a Windows phone.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself. It's time to utter the famous phrase, Hadoop.
It is.
Hadoop.
It wouldn't be a Windows Weekly without a Hadoop.
Hadoop. I need a kind of like a morning
you
zoo
need a trumpet.
Sounder thing for Mary Jo. Woo, Hadoop. Or something.
Yeah, or maybe Hadoop.
Hadoop. Yeah, like Yahoo. Hadoop. Yeah. Okay, well, somebody will make that for us, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, the reason we're talking about Hadoop this week is the Hortonworks the Hortonworks data platform for Windows 2.0 went GA this week, which means generally available for anyone who doesn't know that. And this is a big deal because a few months ago, Hadoop 2.0 went GA for Linux. And so now it's available also for Windows from Hortonworks. This is the only Hadoop 2.0 certified version that runs on Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, and Windows Server 2012 R2. It's got a whole ton of new features that I'm not going to go through because there's too many, but there's been changes to the Hadoop distributed file system. There's things going on with Apache Hive, NoSQL. So you should go and check it out on Hortonworks site and see all the different things you can get if you are someone who makes use of Hadoop. The big question, of course, is when is Microsoft's HD Insight going to be updated so it takes advantage of Hadoop 2.0? And sadly, we have a no comment from Microsoft and Hortonworks on that, but hopefully very soon. That way you'll be able to get HD Insight on Azure using this new technology and also on Windows Server.
That's hot.
Hot.
Did you see that Paris Hilton wants to trademark?
That's hot.
I think you should trademark that's Hadoop.
I think I should.
That's Hadoop.
Gotta get on that.
It's like Candy Crush is going to trademark candy.
Oh, man.
Wow. What a world. What a world. Yep. A bonus enterprise pick. How about that? Right. How about that? Huh?
I don't have a codename pick this week because I'm working on something that I may have for next week. But instead, I'll give you a second enterprise pick, which is actually a really good one. If you go over to the Microsoft Springboard blog, they have a whole list of different guides for business users who are trying to learn Windows 8.1. And the latest one that they added is this 20-page free downloadable navigational guide that you can distribute to your own users in-house. You can even customize it. It has a whole way you can use templates to make it specific for your users at your company. And this is something Microsoft should have had out with Windows 8 from the get-go, I think. It just shows you some of the real basic things, like here's how the File Explorer works, here's what happens when you click on this. It's all little tips and tricks that would have been really handy and made a big difference, I think, to business users at the beginning of the Windows 8 rollout.
Why don't you do this? God, I mean, come on. It's a year. It's yeah. a year old, and you're putting this out now.
I know. So this page is good, though. At least there's a whole bunch of how-to video tutorial links. Yeah. There's the quick guide for business users, and a whole bunch of handy things.
This is great. But it seems to me this is something you have a whole team working on before it ships, and then you release it.
Don't tell them what to do. I have a job.
I know. That's why. If you want the full version with all the tips and tricks, you got to get Paul's Windows 8.1
book. There you go. Nice.
Yeah, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Stuff on the internet. What good is that?
Yeah. Isn't your book's like $2 or something, right?
$2.
$2? Really?
That's not $99 like LogMeIn Pro.
You're charging $2?
Yeah. Sure.
For your book.
You could pay less if you wanted to. We let you change it.
And you go, where do you go? Windows?
81book.com. It's now over 400 pages long.
$2. That's like 4 mils a page or something. It's not even that. It's a mil a page. Nothing. By the way, right. Bill Gates not only was on Jimmy Fallon, but I see now he has a sponsored tweet promoted by Bill Gates. He's a sponsored tweet. The world is better than it's ever been, but I'm struck by how few people know this. Read why in my annual letter. And apparently Bill also has his own personal URL shortener, b-gat.es.
Oh,
B-gat. That's what I'm going to call him. From now on. Hey, BGAT, what's happening, my man? BGAT. Mary Jo, spare us. Save us.
I will.
Give us beer.
I'm going to give you some beer.
Or a code name, at least.
I made an addition to the beer pick, by the way. I don't know if you see that.
Oh, good. Okay. We're going to do a couple beers here. So the one I've got for the beer pick of the week is called Cigar City Florida Cracker. Yes. So it's not what you think.
I don't even know what that could possibly mean.
It's a wit beer, which is a Belgian wheat. It's similar, but a million times better than Blue Moon. So if you like Blue Moon and you like that whole coriander, orange peel thing, you're going to like this beer. I looked up why they called it Florida Cracker, and it turns out that the original descendants of what is now the U.S. state of Florida originally were called crackers.
Well, now, there's more to the story than that. It's kind of a pejorative. It's not.
I know.
Okay.
It is.
But they're embracing it.
They're trying to, take back.
It's like meaning. Next we're going to have honky beer.
By the way.
Fay beer.
That probably exists.
I'm sure it does.
It probably does.
This is the ugliest can. This can looks like Fresca.
It looks weird, right? But the reason another reason I picked this beer is because on January 24th, it's National Beer Can Appreciation Day. So
well,
I wanted to pick a canned beer.
Oh. You know, I love Belgian-style white ale. I really do.
I know.
I've never had it in a really can. Good. That's yep. so weird. And, why do they choose a can?
Cans are making a big comeback in craft beer as well.
Oh, interesting.
Many times the cans actually have beer that tastes better than the bottled beer because there's less chance for things to go wrong.
No light shining through.
Right. So, yeah, I've been drinking a lot of canned craft beers, and they're very good. And this one is a very good one if you like the style, the wit beer style.
Florida Cracker, Belgian-style white ale.
The name is odd, but the beer is very good.
That's awesome.
Okay, good. That's all we care about. How's the beer?
Exactly. That's all we care about. But Paul has something to say on beer.
Yeah,
today.
I guess two things. So my favorite local brewery, which is Blue Hills Brewery, which is in Canton, Mass., right next door to me, now sells some of their beers in cans for the first time. In fact, they just started doing that last week.
That's neat.
The other thing that's been kind of a big news story around these parts is that America's first Trappist ale has arrived, and oddly enough, it's from Massachusetts.
Spencer?
I know.
Yeah, Spencer.
So I'm going to go grab some of this over the weekend.
You know, it's so funny because I saw this article, and I looked at the headline, and I looked at the picture, and I read it as Monks in Space launch.
Yeah. Right.
He looks like a space monk. So Trappist is a style. It's Belgian, right? I mean, that's the beers we like, our Trappist.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, you can't go wrong with a beer made by a monk. So
all my booze is made by monks.
If you look at this thing on Beer Advocate, I believe it has a 91 rating.
That's like high, right?
Right. It's the first Trappist beer maker outside of Europe, right?
Yeah.
All of the others, the eight others that are authorized to make Trappist beer are all in Europe. Mm-hmm. And this is the first one outside.
These are St. Joseph's Abbey. I'm going to ask Father Robert Ballasaire, our tame Jesuit here, what is a Trappist? Right. What makes a monk a Trappist?
See if he can hook you up with some beer. They must have like a Catholic inn. You know,
I'll never forget as a kid going to the Benedictine monastery and in Fécamp, France, where they make Benedictine.
Not in France.
You also picked a little. I guess this is it. This is on the Beer Advocate website. Trappist ale from Spencer.
Paul, I'm actually going to get to try that beer tomorrow.
Nice,
looks good.
A friend of mine
actually
just brought it back.
I've been buying a lot of local beer lately, like different local beer, and you'll be able to see some of that on tap tonight if things go the way they're trending.
Well, I'm sorry about your Patriots there, Paul, but we share something in common on that one.
Yeah, you guys got ripped.
I don't know. It's just it was bad all around. I'm a Tom Brady fan, and I really was hoping to see the
Niners. No, I don't care about that. I would say of the final four teams in the NFL, the Patriots were the one that didn't belong.
I don't know if that's true.
That any of those three other teams going to the Super Bowl made plenty of sense.
I think it's unfortunate. Gonna be a great game. It's unfortunate that you had to face Peyton Manning in a career year. That's really all there is to it.
And with half of our team.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, but that's the point.
Well, the rest are in jail. But these things happen, you know.
I still say that Tim Tebow was the worst thing to happen to the Patriots this year. But but I hear you.
Okay, Mary Jo's tuning out. So let's wrap this sports talk up. Do you follow football at least, Mary Jo?
Nope. I don't give a crap about football.
Wow. I actually got a little chilly up my back when she said that.
This show is... It's the fracas in Massachusetts. What rhymes with fracas? The fracas and secaucus. Our show today is over. There's nothing more to say.
I should also say it.
Paul Thurrott is at the Super Site for Windows, winsupersite.com. Follow him there. Follow his book, Windows81Secrets.com.
Windows81Book.com.
There's no secret about it. Windows81Book.com. It's $2 or whatever you want to pay. It's worth $200. Just think of it that way.
You could pay $200. I would take it.
And it would be well worth it. You can also find Mary Jo Foley online at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's a kind of a shortcut to her ZDNet blog where she posts frequently. And you can find the both of them in one and only one place right here for Windows Weekly every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC on twit.tv. On-demand audio and video always available after the fact at twit.tv/ww or online at the Xbox Music Store. It's free, always free. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. See you next time on Windows Weekly.